Well, good morning. We are going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 today. We're going to wrap up chapter 1. We started 1 Corinthians a couple of weeks ago looking at a church that is having some issues. They are having some questions that Paul needs to deal with and to answer. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to look at those questions. We're going to look at how Paul deals with them. In the very last week, we looked at the initial reason, an initial issue that's going on is there's these rivalries that are going on. Some are saying I'm of Paul, some of Apollos, who's another Christian leader. Some are saying I'm of Peter, and Paul's like, why are you guys having these rivalries? Why do you have this unity in the church? Christ is not divided. Why did Paul die for you? Was Paul crucified? Did Paul raise for you? And the answer to those is no. It's give up the rivalries. Give up the factions. Paul, Apollos, and Peter are not fighting amongst each other. They're not saying my disciples are better than your disciples. They are in it for Christ. And so Paul says, guys, give this up. Focus on Jesus alone. And this morning, we're gonna pick up on that, and why we should focus on Jesus is because Paul is going to deal with the issue of the foolishness of the cross. As Christians, as believers, we are in a world that thinks Christianity is crazy, thinks Christianity is ludicrous, and even in our society, which had for so long been called a Christian society, we are definitely post-Christian, meaning that there are more and more people who do not identify as Christian. Even those who identify as Christian have very little understanding of what it means to be a Christian and live by the words of God. And so Paul says, what I preach to you, most people think it's foolish. Last week, we looked at the fact that Paul said, I come not with great words because I don't want to empty the cross of its power. And so today, we're going to pick up on that idea, and we're going to talk about how Paul wants people to understand the power that's in the cross, even though so many think it's foolish. We're going to deal with worldly wisdom today versus godly wisdom. And so Paul is kind of picking up with the idea that there's two types of people in this world. One is those who are in the process of perishing, or two, those who are in the process of being saved. And we all fit in one of those two categories. We are all either in the process of being saved by God's grace, or we're in the process of perishing because we reject God and reject what Paul calls the foolishness of the cross. So let's read this morning. We'll pick up in verse 18. We'll read through the end of the chapter in verse 31. And Paul continues his letter saying this. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but it is God's power to us who are being saved. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will set aside the understanding of the experts. Where is the philosopher? Where is the scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Hasn't God made the world's wisdom foolish? For since in God's wisdom, the world did not know God through wisdom, God was pleased to save those who believe through the foolishness of the message preached. For the Jews ask for signs and the Greeks ask for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. Yet to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is God's power and God's wisdom, because God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Brothers, consider your calling. Not many are wise from a human perspective, not many powerful, not many of noble birth. Instead, God has chosen what is foolishness or is foolish in the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God has chosen what is insignificant and despised in the world, what is viewed as nothing, to bring to nothing what is viewed as something, so that no one can boast in his presence. But it is from him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became God-given wisdom for us, our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, in order that, as it is written, the one who boasts must boast in the Lord. There's a lot of stuff going on here in this text this morning, but I want to focus in on the idea of the foolishness of the cross. I really only have one point today, but it doesn't mean the sermon's short, so don't get too excited. We are talking about the foolishness of the cross and what the world thinks is the foolishness of the believer. Paul doesn't disparage Christian wisdom. Paul doesn't say wisdom is bad. Paul doesn't say Christian wisdom is bad. The whole book of Proverbs is filled with wisdom that we as believers need to follow. There are many, many aspects in Scripture that would be considered wisdom. He doesn't say wisdom is bad. He doesn't disparage Christian wisdom or philosophy or scholarship or intelligence. Those of you who have gotten degrees or are going to college and maybe gotten even master's degrees or above, you are not people that Paul is saying you're foolish. Knowledge is good. But when knowledge is used to supplant God, it becomes bad. So Paul's saying godly wisdom is more advantageous than manly wisdom. He is ultimately going after those people who are saying, you know what, my knowledge, my understanding of the world is better. The sages, the legal experts, the great speakers of the world, whether they be Jewish or Gentile, Paul's saying, you've missed it. You've missed it. You think that you can just come up with what it means to be a person, what it means to be alive, what it means to be have purpose in your life apart from God. You have missed it. Human wisdom does not pursue God. Paul's dealt with this in Romans chapter 1, where he talks about how the wisdom of man is nothing but foolishness. In Romans chapter 1, verse 23, verse 21 through 23 says, for though they knew God, talking about God's creation, humanity, you and I, though we knew God, they did not glorify him as God or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became nonsense. Thinking became nonsense. And their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, four-legged animals, and reptiles. Paul said, man had the ability to know God. You can look out in creation. You can look into the stars and say, there is something beyond me. But instead of worshiping God, we said, oh, I think my God is going to be this star, or my God's going to be the sun, or my God is going to be this bull, or this reptile, or this fish, or whatnot. And Paul says, if you take a step back, man in his wisdom is only foolish. Man in his wisdom is really foolish. Yet God, God knew this from the beginning. God knew this, and he set a plan in motion so that you and I can know him. He knew that if we are left to our ways, we will not worship God. We will worship anything else. He knows we will worship because that's part of who we are. We will worship something, whether it's science or a relationship or a football team or you fill in the blank, whatever it is, you're going to worship some other false god. You're going to worship something. So God put in motion a plan to say, you know what? You need to worship me. So I'm going to make a way for you to know me. And first, he sends the law so that man knows that he is not perfect. He knows he needs something to save him. And then Jesus came. Jesus came and he died on a cruel, cursed cross, but he rose again. And that's the message that Paul preaches. And he says, you know what, you guys, for you it's foolish, but for those of us who know God, it is the power to save us. Paul talks about these cultural expectations that the Jews have and the Gentiles have. He says, Jews, you guys want the spectacular. You want the miracle. You want the show. You want somebody who says if they're from God to show you they're from God. You want to see the visual that goes with what God says. You don't have real faith. You want to see it. You want the magnificent. You want the dramatic. And a Messiah who died on a cross that was considered cursed is no Messiah at all. Yes, Jesus came and he preached, and yes, he did miracles, but you hear that he was hung on a tree, he was hung on a cross. And Deuteronomy says, cursed is the man who hangs on a tree. And you say, there's no way God loved him. There's no way God cared about him. There's no way he's from God. There's no way he's God's anointed. And so you say, that is foolish. Instead, I'm going to rely on other aspects. I'm going to rely on my tradition. I'm going to rely on my ancestors to help me understand God. And for the Greeks had an elaborate system. First of all, their gods, the pantheon of gods, were really the ideal humans. They were the ideal. They were the perfect. They had, if you look at their sculptures, you look at the art, the Greek gods were the perfect gods. Their bodies were made perfectly. They looked perfect. They had perfect judgment. They had perfect whatever. They were the ideal. We were all supposed to aspire to. That, along with the philosophies that they had in the day, like Epicureanism and Stoicism and Platonics and Aristotle's followers, they had all of these philosophies that said, you know what, you need to act in a way and you do all these things and you should know all this knowledge. And by having these perfectly ideal gods and these philosophies, a God who becomes man and dies, their gods wouldn't do such a thing. That's foolish. So Paul's message to the Greeks sounds totally foolish to them. There's no way a God would become a man. Gods were perfect. Gods were the ideal. God would not become one of us, and he would not die. It's foolish. And to the Jew, a Messiah, an anointed one of God, God himself in human flesh would not die. It's foolish. And so Paul says, you know what? I'm not going to empty the cross of what it is. I'm not going to preach something else. I'm going to preach Christ. I'm going to preach him crucified, whether you think it's wise or whether you think it's foolish. Paul says, those of us who the Spirit of God has touched, we find the greatest wisdom ever. When you find God, or when God finds you, however you want to say it, the greatest wisdom is at your disposal. The ways of an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving God are not our ways. Humanity would not come up with the idea of becoming man so that we can save mankind. That is God's plan in God alone. And Paul starts talking about those who were at Corinth, who were members of the church. He starts to say, you know what? You weren't among the philosophers. You're not among the intellectuals. You're not among the great speakers of society. You don't have this great influence in government or in society. You're not all the ideals of what the Greeks thought was important. You have Jesus. And it is amazing that God will use what the society thinks is weak and foolishness, and he will use it to confound the wise. He will use the weak. He will use the foolish. He will use the lowly. I don't know about you, but even though I've had lots of education, I don't consider myself wise. I don't consider myself all that influential. And I'm amazed that God would use someone like me week after week to speak to you. When society would look at me and say, you are foolish, you are no good, you are lowly, you have no influence. Week after week, God speaks his word every Sunday. And if you sit back and think about that, that can confound the wise. Here's the good news for you and me. We're not the influencers of society. We're not the philosophers. We're not the greatest of the great. But God chooses the foolish things of this world to shame, to confound, and even to amaze the wise of the world. God can still use you and still use me for his glory. We're not the best, but we have God. We're not the wisest, but we have God. We're not the most influential, but we have God. And if there's anything that you and I can boast in, it is God, and to boast in the cross. Boast in what makes us Christians. It's not some system. It's not some ideal that the philosophers come up with. It is God living in us because of what happened on the cross and in the resurrection. The world still thinks its ways are wise. The world looks at Christianity and says, you guys are antiquated, you're old, you have all of these crazy rules. You are outdated. I want nothing to do with you. You need to come into the 21st century. While yes, we can be legalistic at times, God still has given us his principles and his ways, and that if we will follow them, we will be the true wise in the world. Our world says, go for power. God says, go for humility. The world says, go for as much in a relationship as you can get out of the other person. And God says, do not think of yourself more highly than you should. The world says, go and have sex as much as you can with as many people as you can. And God says, keep yourself from marriage and marriage alone. The world says homosexuality is okay and that we should do anything and everything we want and the way we want. And God says, I have put these guardrails up. The world says, lie, steal, and cheat all you can. And God says, no. The ways of God are crazy to the world we live in. And it's only getting crazier. The cross in Christianity is foolish to so many. But for those of us who know Jesus, those of us who have Christ, those of us who have God living within us, we know that it is the power that saves. Sadly, there's so many that still attend church who want to use their own wisdom. They think as long as I'm good enough, or I have enough love, or I give enough, or I show up at the right times to the right events, that way God will love me. And that's not what Scripture teaches us. We rely on morality, or we rely on our power, or on our spirituality, or some philosophy to impress God. We may use our influence or our money to make people think that we are righteous. But in reality, all it does is increase our pride and go against the wisdom of God. See, too many have imposed the wisdom of the world to the church. And while we have the right lingo, we might say the same things, we try to do the same thing on the church that God tells us not to do. We try to use the wisdom of the world and put it on top of Christianity, and God says it is all foolishness. The world tells us, the world still focuses on many of these same philosophies that Paul's talking about in the first century. He's still talking about these people like the Epicureans who wanted to enjoy life as much as they could. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, was the philosophy or the catchphrase of Epicureans. In other words, have all the fun you can. It's Nike, just do it. Or Burger King, have it your way. Do whatever you want. Life is short, party hard. That's Epicureanism. The Stoics were people who said, you know what, just get a lot of education and live simply. That was Stoicism. You can have people like the skeptics who say, don't trust anyone, doubt everything. And we can find these philosophies in our world today. Those who say, party all you can. Those who say, you know what, just be as simple as you can. Those who say, you know what, don't trust anybody or anything. That's the wisdom of the world. And the wisdom of the cross is follow Jesus, give God your life, share your faith, be someone who is a giver, not a taker. To all the skeptics, to all the Stoics out there, to all the Epicureanists, everything about the cross is foolish, but to God, it is the power to change the world. You and I can either live in the midst of these philosophies and take them and try to put them on top of Christianity and say, you know what, if I just, you know, we can mix and match these. Or you can live in the foolishness of the cross that says, I'm going to deny myself and I'm going to obey God. That all the philosophies of the world, that all the wisdom of the world in reality is foolish. And though they say Christians are crazy, that they are antiquated, that they are outdated, that they are good for nothing, they call us foolish. We are going to rely on the wisdom of God because it confounds the wise. God uses the simple to impress the strong. It's okay to be simple and uninfluential. It's okay not to be a philosopher. But you need to live out that life that God calls you to. Live out the foolishness of the cross that has the power to save. And as you think about that, as you contemplate that, and you think about your life and how you live and how people may think you're foolish, or maybe you think Christian Christian obedience, Christian lifestyle is foolish. That you want to accept some things but reject others. Who is really foolish? Who is really foolish? When we die and we stand before God, are you going to rely on your wisdom? Are you going to rely on your influence, on your power, on your money? Or are you going to rely on the cross? If you've never given your life to Christ, I encourage you to do it today. Follow him. Even the world says you're foolish. Even the world says you're unwise. Even the world says that you are crazy. Run after Jesus. These next moments, and look at your life. Does it line up with the cross? Or are you more into the foolishness or the wisdom of the world? Father, I pray that like Paul, we would not empty the power of the cross, even though it's foolish to many around us. But that we would continue to share about a Savior who became man, and gave his life for us, rose again and offers us relationship with God. It's only in that that we can confound anything. I pray that you would use us, simple people, for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name.